Thank you very much for that singing. Very good. I appreciate that. I'm glad to be here this morning. Glad to see you all out this morning as well. And I thank the Lord for the opportunity to be able to speak this morning. Pastor called, excuse my voice if you would, Pastor called me on Friday and asked me if I'd be able to speak this morning, if I was going to be in town. And I said, sure. I said I'd be happy to, and thanked him for the opportunity. And it wasn't 10 minutes later, I felt a little tickle in my throat. And I started feeling sick, and by that night, I was really fighting it. And so I've been working the last day or so trying to beat it, and I haven't been successful yet. So if you would just excuse my voice, I'd appreciate that very much. I won't keep you long this morning, but I want to talk to you this morning. If you noticed the two verses, portions of Scripture that we read from this morning, it mentions the name of a city, name of a town, by the name of Dothan. And there's only two places in the Bible that the city or the town, the city of Dothan, is mentioned, and that's in these two portions of Scripture. And I don't believe that's by accident. I believe everything in the Bible is there on purpose. And I hope this morning that that we can learn something from this portion of Scripture, and that the Holy Spirit will have His work and have His way in our hearts this morning. Let's pray this morning as we Before I preach a message that I have entitled, A Visit to Dothan, A Visit to Dothan. Let's pray. Father, thank you so much for the opportunity of being in church this morning. Thank you for the beautiful day that we've enjoyed, the beautiful weekend we've had. And I pray, God, that this morning you would speak to hearts, Lord, and just teach us thy word, Lord. And I know that many people are here this morning, and they've gone through the last week, and it's been there's been some struggles, there's been some difficulties, there's been some heartaches perhaps, and they're here this morning, Lord, and they want to hear from you, and they need to hear from you, Lord, and I pray that this morning as we're gathered around your word that we would be expecting a blessing and expect you to speak to our hearts, Lord. So I pray that you'd go from person to person and pew to pew and just speak to hearts this morning, Lord. Help us to just put aside thoughts of the day, put aside thoughts of this past week, and maybe thoughts of this upcoming week, and just concentrate upon your word right now. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. I'm going to read to you just those two verses. You don't have to turn to them just yet. Well, let me have you turn to Genesis chapter 37. If you would turn there, Genesis chapter 37. Genesis chapter 37. I'm going to read to you verse 17. You can follow along there. And then I'm going to read the verse in 2 Kings. Genesis 37, verse 17 says, "And the man said, they are departed thence, for I heard them say, let us go to Dothan. And Joseph went after his brethren and found them in Dothan." Now, you don't have to turn to 2 Kings yet unless you have your finger there. But in 2 Kings chapter 6, verse 13, the Bible says, "And he said," this is the Syrian king speaking, and he said, "Go and spy where he is, that I may send and fetch him." And it was told him, saying, "Behold, he is in Dothan." Let's look at verse in Genesis 37. Let's look where we began reading this morning, where Brother Cook had us turn to. Let's look at verse number 12, and we're going to go through these verses verse by verse and just look at them, again, learn the story. And then we'll go into 2 Kings, and we'll do the same thing. And then I want to just teach you a few things after that, if I could. Verse number 12 says, "And his brethren went to feed their father's flock in Shechem." Just before this, if you were to go to the chapter, at the beginning of chapter 37, it talks about his father, or Joseph's father, Jacob, and of course all of his brethren, and how the brothers of Joseph envied him, because it seemed as if to them that Joseph was getting more attention, that Jacob loved Joseph more, and their brothers were kind of upset, and they were angry, and they didn't like Joseph because of the attention that he received. And so his father sent the brothers, the older brothers, and sent them to take the flocks and go to Shechem and feed the flocks there, which was a little distance away for them to travel. And so they took the flock, and in verse 12, that's where we pick it up, and it says, "And his brethren went to feed their flocks in their father's flocks in Shechem. And Israel said unto Joseph, do not thy brethren feed the flocks in Shechem? Come, I will send thee unto him. And he said to him, here am I. Boy, I like that. I like Joseph's response to his father. He said, here am I. In other words, he was saying, yes, sir. He called his son Joseph, and he's, yes, sir, here am I. What do you need? And what a good response. I like seeing that. And then verse 14, it says, and he said unto him, go, I pray thee, see whether it be well with thy brethren and well within the flock, with the flocks, and bring me word again. So he sent him out of the vale of Hebron, and he came to Shechem. And a certain man found him, and behold, he was wandering in the field. And the man asked him, saying, what seekest thou? So here Joseph was, who was out looking for his brethren, wasn't sure exactly where to go. Maybe there was certain places that they would take the flock, in years past. I don't know. But the Bible doesn't tell us much about that. But the Bible does say that he was wandering in the field. I picture it kind of aimlessly, just kind of wandering, looking around, just really anywhere. Perhaps he's checked the places that perhaps the sheep normally would go, where they would take the sheep, and did not find him. And a man, the Bible says here, a man says to him, what seekest thou? Just a man who's out there. And he said, I seek my brethren. Tell me, I pray thee, where they feed their flock. And the man said, they are departed hence, for I heard them say, let us go to Dothan. And Joseph went after his brethren and found them in Dothan. So he kind of took the man's word for it and went to Dothan, and sure enough, he found him. And if we continue reading here from verse 18, it comes to the portion of Scripture that we all know, where Joseph, he finally meets up with his brethren, and his brethren see him coming, and his brethren are not happy with him. Like I said, before his fathers sent out the older brothers to go to Shechem with the flocks, Joseph had shared with them a couple dreams that he had. Joseph had shared with them how he had dreamed that he was a sheaf, and other sheaves were bowing down to him, and the family took it as if he was saying that they were going to be bowing down to him one day. And also shared with him about the sun and the moon and stars bowing down to him. And the family, of course, did not like that either. And they thought he was perhaps a little proud or whatever it might be. So the father, of course, sent the brothers, and which probably was a good thing. The brothers probably wouldn't have been too happy with him at home. And of course, Joseph stayed at home. And then his father sent them to meet up with him. And so here the brothers are. They're with the flock. They're in Dothan, and here comes Joseph to them, and they see him afar off. And then they began to say amongst themselves, they say, "Here comes the dreamer. Here comes the one who says we're going to bow down to him. Here comes the one. Let's see what happens of his dreams. Let's take him. Let's kill him. Let's slay him and let's kill him, and let's see what happens with his dreams after that happens. Let's see if anything comes of his dreams." After that, I can just picture it. Here the brothers are together, and of course they're not showing their bitterness while he's walking to them. They're not showing their anger as he's walking up to them. They're probably smiling. They're probably saying, hey, Joseph, good to see you. Come on over. Over here. Let's talk. And how'd you find us? And just talking real friendly with him until they actually were able to get their hands upon Joseph. And once they grabbed him, it was like they were going to rip him apart. And Reuben, of course, the older brother, steps in and he says, no, let's not do this. This wouldn't be right. Let's put him in a pit. And then they throw Joseph into the pit. And I can just imagine how Joseph felt when his own brethren did that to him. When they grabbed on Joseph, and Joseph saw in their eyes, he saw murder in their eyes. He saw hatred in their eyes. He saw an anger in their eyes like they've never seen before. And like he's never seen before, and they threw him into the pit. And I can imagine Joseph, I don't know how deep the pit was, obviously deep enough where he couldn't get out. And I can imagine Joseph in that pit and just crying, just wailing. Cannot believe that his own brothers would do that. I don't have any brothers, but from what I hear, if you have several brothers, let's say you have five boys, four boys, three boys in your family, usually the boys are fighting quite a bit. That's what I hear. I don't know. The boys, they fight, they rough and tumble, they do things like that. And I can imagine Joseph as he's in this pit and he's thinking about, these are my brothers up there who threw me in this pit. These are the ones I grew up with. These are the ones that we celebrated holidays with as a family. These are the brothers that I would sit around the table with at a mealtime, and we would pray, and we grew up together. We played games together. We did things together. And here Joseph is, just about 17 years old in this portion of Scripture, and he's betrayed by his brother. And they know he wasn't joking. They knew they weren't just going to put him down or teach him a lesson. They knew, or Joseph knew, that they were serious this time. They were going to get rid of their brother finally, because of his dreams, because of his attitude, or whatever it might be. And I believe that Joseph felt very betrayed in the pit. And I can just hear him crying out to his brothers, saying, "Why are you doing this to me? Why? What have I done? I've only told you what God has shown me in my dreams. Why would you do this to me? You're my brothers. Why would you hate me? Where's the hatred come from? Our father's not taught us that. And why is this happening?" And just crying and just wailing out. And can you imagine the brothers sitting around a campfire and the pit not far away, and them hearing their own brother cry out for help? Asking his brothers up top above the pit, saying, "Please help me, please let me out, don't do this thing, don't kill me." And his brothers, of course, did not do anything to help him. I cannot imagine what was going through Joseph's mind at that time, but no doubt a very difficult time, no doubt a very discouraging time, no doubt a very difficult situation that he found himself in. Can you imagine, though, how the brothers felt around the fire as they're eating their food, as they can hear their own brother crying out and asking for help, and nobody is going to help them? Verse 25 shows us, and we won't look at all the scripture because of time. It says, verse 25, though, shows us how they were eating bread, and they noticed the Ishmaelites coming, and they, in verse 28, they pulled Joseph out of the pit, and they had the idea they're going to sell him as a slave. They weren't going to kill him, because Reuben had talked them out of that, and they're going to sell him as a slave. And can you imagine the relief when they pull maybe the lid off the pit or something, so that Joseph perhaps couldn't get out, and they pulled it off, and they're standing around the pit, and they throw a rope down, or maybe they reach down to grab him. Can you imagine Joseph's relief to realize that, okay, these guys are just playing around. These guys are just trying to teach me a lesson, and they reach down to pull him out to help him, and really when they pull him out, they hold him and they bind him. And Joseph sees the Ishmaelites coming, and he realizes that he's not being helped. He's not being forgiven. He's not being let go. He's really being sold into slavery. And can you imagine how he felt? I can imagine him being sold over, and as the brothers bartered with the Ishmaelites, as they bartered to try to get a good price for Joseph. And finally, they reach a settlement, and they sell their brother, their flesh and blood. They sell him to be a slave, and to never see him again. As far as they knew, they'd never see him again. Can you imagine the feeling that Joseph had as he's being sold? Once part of the family, no longer part of the family, just really a worker. Once a brother, but no longer a brother. Now he's simply just a slave. Can you imagine how his brothers laughed as they pulled him away? And as the Ishmaelites took him further away, and he became smaller and smaller and smaller into the horizon here, Joseph was crying again, and Joseph wailing, and Joseph saying, "Brothers, don't do this. Brethren, don't do this to me. I'm your brother. Don't do this to me." And Joseph slowly disappears, and they don't see him for a long, long time. Joseph, of course, we know, becomes a servant. Joseph becomes a slave, and for years he's told what to do. For years he's told when to do it. For years, he does not make his own decisions anymore. Now, he's told what to do. Now, if he does not do it, he gets a whip on his back. Now, if he's no longer a cherished one in the family like he was when he was at home with his father, now he's just one of the slaves. He's no longer the loved one. Later, as years go by, he trusts God. He prays. He believes God. He has faith. And then later, he's falsely accused by Potiphar's wife. And then, of course, we know he's put into prison. And he's there. And afterwards, his so-called friends, he's been in prison there for years. And his so-called friends, the ones that he talks to there, he's forgotten about. And they promised that they would tell they would tell Potiphar about him being there. And no, they forgot all about him. And no longer is he the cherished one. No longer he's forgotten about by his family. He's forgotten about by, he don't have any friends. He sleeps in dirty quarters. He eats the worst foods. He wears the worst clothes, if any clothes. And he has no family. He has no friends. He's empty and alone. However, once again, he has faith in God. You know, no matter what happens in our lives, no matter how difficult it gets, no matter how bad our circumstances seem, we always have our faith. Amen. We always have our faith as long as we don't give up on our faith. Because we can just say, well, forget it. God let that happen to me. Joseph could have easily said, forget it. God allowed that to come into my life, and I'm not serving God anymore. But no, he didn't. He kept his faith, and he never lost his faith. No matter what comes into his life, no matter what he's hit with, no matter what circumstances happen to him, he makes the right decisions in God and continues to trust in God. And I think to myself, if these type of things would have happened to me, if a percentage of this would have happened to me, I don't know what I would have done. I cannot stand here and tell you that I'd believe in God, and I'd stand strong, and I'd stand faithful. I do not know what I would do. You don't know what you would do. And I'd like to say that I'd stand strong, but I don't know. I don't know. But then finally, Joseph receives his opportunity. Pharaoh has a dream, and there's a dream, and Joseph interprets for him. Joseph's placed second in command of the kingdom. And because of Joseph's faithfulness, God blesses Joseph in a great way. And of course, we know Joseph saves many from the famine that came upon that area. And Joseph's dreams come true. And Joseph gives God all the credit. If we move all the way down to Genesis chapter 45, we won't do that. But in verses 5, 7, 8, 9, Joseph gives God all the credit and all the attributes to God. And in Genesis 50, verse 20, it says, "But as for you, ye thought evil against me, but God meant it unto good to bring it to pass, as it is this day, to save much people alive." He just had faith to believe no matter what's happening to him, God's going to do something great with this. God's going to do something amazing with this, with these circumstances that are happening in his life. Now, if you would, switch over to 2 Kings chapter 6. 2 Kings chapter number 6. We began reading this morning with Brother Cook. We began reading in verse 11. Verse 11, the Bible says, "Therefore the heart of the king of Syria was sore troubled for this thing, and he called his servants and said unto them, Will ye not show me which of us is for the king of Israel?" This is talking about Elisha and the king of Syria here. Enemies with Israel. And in the beginning, just several chapters before, Elisha, of course, walked with Elijah. And they were doing things together. Of course, Elijah taken to heaven in a whirlwind. And Elisha left behind and takes up the mantle of Elijah. And serving God, and he's the prophet of God. And the king of Syria, of course, not happy with Israel, and they're fighting, and they're at war with each other. The strategic locations or their plans of what they want to do, how they want to attack Israel. Somehow the word is getting out to Israel, and Israel's not falling for the traps and things like that. And so he doesn't understand how does Israel know that we're planning to do this, and somehow they messed up that plan. We're going to plan on doing this. Who's the informer here? Who's the one who's letting people know about what our plans are? And that's where we start there in verse number 11. The king is not happy. It says, "The heart of the king of Syria was sore troubled at this thing. And he called his servants and said unto them, Will ye show me which of us is for the king of Israel?" In other words, who's the traitor? Who's giving them the information here? And one of them said, "None, my lord, O king, but Elisha, the prophet that is in Israel, telling the king of Israel the words that thou speakest in thy bedchamber." So he's saying that Elisha, he's the one who's going to Israel and telling them what you're planning on doing. And in verse 13 it says, and he said, go and spy where he is, that I may send and fetch him. And it was told him, saying, behold, he is in Dothan. Therefore sent he thither horses and chariots and a great host, and they came by night and compassed the city about. And when the servant of the man of God was risen early and gone forth, behold, an host encompassed the city, both with horses and chariots. And his servant said unto him, alas, my master, what shall we do? And he said, fear not, for they that be with us are more than they that be with them. Of course, this portion of scripture we know about, and we've read, and we've heard different messages about them. But this portion of scripture, we read about Elisha, and how, of course, he was for Israel, and he would try and help Israel. And the king of Syria, of course, sent out these forces to try and capture Elisha, try and capture the man of God. And I always think that's so funny how a king can try to, when he knows that he's the man of God, he knows he's the prophet of God, and how he thinks, well, if I send 50 men, that'll surely be enough to beat God. Or if I send 1,000 men, that'll surely be enough to defeat God. And you can send out an army, you can send out a legion, you can send out 50,000. It doesn't matter, you're not going to beat God, amen? And Elisha, of course, he wasn't worried. He wasn't worried. And the king of Syria sent out a great force to seize Elisha. Verse 15, Elisha's servant got up early that day. Boy, I like that as well. I like the fact that of getting up early and getting started early. Amen? And, it just seems like we the best part of our day, we waste it because we're sleeping in. Amen? And I think that I love the fact there that Elisha's servant got up early that day. And Elisha says there, Elisha finds himself up against impossible odds. Elisha's servant said to him, what are we going to do? He said, look at all the great hosts out here. And I picture as Elisha and his servant, they're in a canyon, in a ravine type of an area. And here the army is up on the crest. And all these men, maybe with bows and arrows, with weapons, with spears and all kinds of things. And Elisha's servant gets up and he looks and he sees all this host. And he thinks to himself, what are we going to do? How are we going to get through this? What's going to happen? And he says, alas, my master, in verse number 15, towards the end there, says, alas, my master, how shall we do? But Elisha wasn't scared. Elisha knew the God that he served, amen? Elisha knew that it didn't matter how many people were against them, because in verse number 16, it says, fear not, for they that be with us are more than they that be with them. And of course, God gave them the victory. God gave them a wonderful victory that day. And Elisha realized, though, that his servant did not have the faith as he had, and he helped him. He gave him words. Amen. I'm so glad for God's word that encourages us. Amen. And if it wasn't for God's word, we would all be in trouble today. So many times during the week, I just rely upon God's word. I rely on God's word each day to just speak to me. Just sometimes it might just be a few words. Sometimes maybe just a verse. Sometimes a whole chapter, whatever it might be. But I'm so thankful for God's word. And I'm so thankful for those that preach God's word and those that teach God's word. I was just thinking, just this last few days, when we lived in Indiana, we lived down in Cedar Lake, Indiana. Many of you know that area. We were there, and I remember we were going to a church down there, and for a little while in the Cedar Lake area. And I remember I felt so defeated, I felt so down and discouraged. And I thought to myself, I'm just ready to throw in the towel. I'm just tired of fighting, tired of struggling, tired of all the battles all the time on every front. It seemed like. And it just was discouraged. And I don't remember if my wife remembers that or not, but I remember going to church that morning, and I wasn't going to go. I thought, I'm not going to go to church. I was just discouraged and down. And I remember our Sunday school teacher, a man by the name of Marty Devine, and he got up that morning. There was only maybe 7 or 8 of us in Sunday school, and I remember sitting there probably closest to the back because I was backslidden, and I remember he preached a message, or taught us a lesson that morning, I should say, that just encouraged my heart. And I thought to myself, that's exactly what I needed, Because if it was, I told God that. I said, God, if I don't get anything out of this Sunday school lesson, I'm done. I'm just tired, and I'm wore out. And he taught a lesson that just was hit me from every point. And I thought, you know, that God used him to speak to my heart, and I'm so thankful for God's word. And this morning, Brother Pickleball taught us a Sunday school lesson about being a patriotic Christian, be a patriot for the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. And what a blessing that was. What an encouraging Sunday school lesson that was. And thank you so much, Brother Pickleball, for that. And but as we look at Elisha here, you know, all this enemy all around him, all this compassed about him, and even Elisha's servant saying, "Alas, my master, what shall we do?" But Elisha was not shaken, just like Joseph was not shaken, no matter what came into his life, no matter what circumstances, what difficulties, what problems came in his life, Joseph was not shaken. And just in the same sense, Elisha was not shaken, no matter what was coming his way. "Boy, the king of Syria, he's out for you. What are you going to do, Elisha?" "I'm not going to worry about it. I'm not going to worry about it. God's on my side. I'm doing the right things. I'm obeying. I'm doing the right things. And God's going to take care of me." And God blessed and gave them a great victory that day in Dothan. Now, I want to mention to you something about Dothan before we get into it. I want to just teach you three things about it. Once again, I mentioned to you earlier this morning that Dothan's only mentioned twice in the Bible and in these two portions of Scripture that we read about. And I think to myself, you know, Dothan and Joseph's experience there was a difficult one. But you know what? In the end, God came through for Joseph. And Elisha's situation in Dothan was a difficult one as well. But God seemed to somehow answer right away. God gave him the victory that day. In just a few moments, God gave him the victory. And you know, it's like that in our lives. Many times we find ourselves in a place called Dothan. A place of discouragement. A place of difficulty. And we pray. And we have faith. And we pray. And we say, "God, will you help me in this situation that I'm dealing with right here?" Or whatever it might be. Sickness, health, job, family, whatever it might be. Finances. Whatever it might be. And we pray. And we say, "God, I'm in this difficult spot. God, please help me." And we find ourselves in Dothan. And God just doesn't seem to answer right away. Many times we have to wait weeks, months, or even years. But let me encourage you, like Joseph, he kept the faith. And he continued to believe, and God did come through for him. If we faint not, amen? Amen. If we faint not. Also, in our lives, all of us, we've experienced a Dothan experience like Elisha did, where Elisha was compassed about, and he had enemies on every side. He had difficulties and circumstances and problems that, humanly speaking, were not possible for him as one or two men to be able to care for. There's no way that they would have been able to do it without God. And he just prayed, and he just trusted God. And you know what? That very day, God gave him the victory. I love it on Wednesday night when we come in here and Pastor asked for a prayer, of course, blessings and testimonies and things like that. And I love seeing somebody stand up and pray, and they say, God bless. I was facing this situation yesterday morning or Monday morning or whatever it might be, and I prayed, and God answered the prayer that very day. God answered that prayer within the next few minutes or whatever it might be, but God answered right away, and so they're just a few days later able to give God the praise for the answered prayer. And what a blessing that is to be able to hear the, you know, and that as human beings, that's our kind of pull to want to have more of an Elisha kind of an experience. We want to pray, have a problem, and pray and see God come through right away. Amen. I mean, that'd be great if I had a problem, had a difficulty, and I prayed right now and God answered. Boy, that'd be super, and I can give God to praise every week about things that God took care of. I had a problem Monday and God took care of it. I had a problem Tuesday and God took care of it. But many times, that's not the case. Many times we have an issue, perhaps, let's say, health. And God doesn't answer right away. And God is stretching our faith. And God is strengthening our Christian lives by trusting in Him. Boy, can you imagine Joseph in his situation that he was in, to be able to just trust God. Hey, trust God, it's going to be okay, Joseph. He didn't have anybody there to encourage him like we do. He didn't have a pastor there to love him, to preach to him. He didn't have those things. He had what was in his heart. He had what his father taught him. He had it in his memory. That's all he had. He knew he had a relationship with God, and he trusted him. And no matter what came, thrown in a pit, I can trust you, God. Betrayed by his brethren, I can trust you, God. Be sold into slavery, I can trust you, God. Being falsely accused by Potiphar's wife, I can trust you, God. Being put into prison, I can trust you, God. Being forgotten about, I can trust you, God. And he trusted God, even though it was difficult. I wonder this morning if perhaps this last week you've been to Dothan. You've been in a difficult situation. You've been in a discouraging situation. I would say that most of us have in the last week, in the last month, in the last year. None of us have smooth sailing, amen. We all have difficulties. And I want to just show you a few things, try and teach you a few things this morning about Dothan. Number one, Dothan was a place of difficulty. Dothan was a place of difficulty. Once again, Joseph in his slavery, being thrown into a pit, being sold as a slave, no longer has his rights, no longer a brother in the family. It was a difficult situation for Joseph, no doubt. Elisha and his servant being outnumbered, it was a difficult situation. His servant said, "Alas, my master, what shall we do? What are we going to do?" You know, in our own lives, we face difficult situations as well. Well, as I mentioned just a little bit ago about perhaps it's your workplace. You know, your boss perhaps giving you difficulty about maybe witnessing on the job or maybe having you do something perhaps that goes against your convictions and you don't know what to do. How should I handle that? Or maybe you don't have a job and you've been looking for a job or you need more hours or whatever it might be. And there's a difficulty, though, perhaps in your workplace. And you find yourself in Dothan. You find yourself in a difficult place. Let me just say to you, trust God. Have faith in God and don't give up, no matter how difficult it becomes. Perhaps it's in your family. You know, you need more time with your family. You want to spend more time, but boy, so many constraints and so many pulls on your time to be at work, to be in a ministry, to do this, to do that, and side jobs and different things like that. And you just don't have the time with your family that you'd like to have. And you find yourself trying to juggle your time, and it's a difficulty. It's a problem. Perhaps a son who's being maybe going wayward, or a daughter with something. I don't know what it could be, but folks, let me encourage you: just trust God. Just trust God, and I know it can be a difficult situation. Maybe perhaps in ministry involvement. I was thinking about this past week also of EBS and just all the people who had a helping hand, or like as Brother Cook mentioned about even just bagging cookies or teaching or playing the devil, amen, or whatever it might be. I saw Brother Binder out at Lowe's, and I was just thinking of him and just thinking of all the things that he does in his day. And I mean, I'm out at Lowe's sometimes at 7 o'clock in the morning, and he's there, and I think to myself, boy, you know. And then he does different things with his family, and then he's doing things with VBS. I just thanked him for everything he does, and just a blessing. And you know, but there's so many things that are pulling on our time, and I know it can be difficult wanting to do more for the ministry, but then trying to juggle our time and do different things. And I know it can be a difficult situation. Perhaps you have a difficulty in your health. Perhaps you have a difficulty in your finances, or whatever it might be, and you find yourself this morning in a place called Dothan, like Joseph was. You find yourself in a place called Dothan this morning, like Elisha was. Number one, I said to you, though, this morning, Dothan is a place of difficulty. Dothan is a place of difficulty. Number two, Dothan is a place of discouragement. Now, I know it sounds bad already this morning. This is supposed to be a Sunday morning message. It's supposed to be encouraging, amen? It's supposed to be uplifting, and I'm talking about difficulties and talking about discouragement, but it gets better. It gets better. Stay with me here. Number one, I said Dothan is a place of difficulty. Number two, Dothan is a place of discouragement. Joseph, of course, being betrayed. I cannot imagine how Joseph felt by being betrayed. I don't know anything really any worse than feeling like you've been betrayed by a friend, being betrayed by a loved one, especially a loved one. How difficult and how discouraging that could be. Because it seems like no matter how difficult things get, no matter how hard things get, no matter how discouraging things get, boy, family is always going to be on your side. Family is always going to love you. Family is always going to believe in you. Family is always going to pat you on the back and say, hey, you can make it. Family is always going to do that. But boy, that didn't happen with Joseph. Joseph lost his family that day in Dothan. And Elisha's servant, in verse number 15, where it said, you know, he was discouraged. He didn't know what to do. Boy, it can be a Dothan can be a discouraging place. Perhaps you've been betrayed this morning by a friend, by a loved one, and it can be discouraging. Dothan is a discouraging place. Discouraged from unmounting tasks like Elijah. Like, you know, I think to myself all the different things that I'd like to do and I'd like to accomplish and I'd like to get done in a day, and you just can't get it all done, and it's discouraging. And here Elisha was. He was surrounded by an innumerable amount of enemies, but he didn't get discouraged. He continued to trust God. Folks, when we get discouraged, just trust God. Just, you know, learning the Bible or just following the Lord, it's not difficult. Just trust God. Just trust God. Don't give up. Don't give up. Like Joseph did. He did not give up. Like Elisha, he continued to believe. Do right just trust God through those discouraging times. And I know things can get discouraging. My family right now, we're a little discouraged about the situation with our immigration. And I'll tell you what, I go to bed at night and throughout the day, and I pray, and I just beg God, God, why is this happening? God, and you can get a little discouraged. You can get a little down. And I find myself this past week and the past few weeks in Dothan discouraged, facing difficult times. And I believe tonight or this morning that perhaps you've been to Dothan this past week. Perhaps you've been discouraged. Something's happened in your life. Something's come into your life that is kind of maybe thrown off your sink or whatever it might be, and you've gotten discouraged. Let me encourage you, just trust God. Just trust God. Number one, I said Dothan is a place of difficulty. Number two, a place of discouragement. Number three, though, Dothan was a place of deliverance. Dothan was a place of deliverance. Joseph saved his family from Canaan many years later, and from the difficulty that happened to Joseph there in Dothan. Joseph was delivered from that difficult spot. As we talked about a little earlier, of course, God blessed his faithfulness. God blessed his willingness to just trust God, and God put him second in command. And we know the story how his brethren in Canaan were starving, and they didn't have any food. There was a famine in the land, and they came down to Egypt to be able to buy corn because they had heard that they were selling corn in Egypt, and Joseph was in charge of that. And what an amazing story. Is probably in my own life, is probably the story of the Bible that I like the most, the story of Joseph and how God reconciled and how God brought that family back together. But it's a place of deliverance. God blessed Joseph because he continued to believe and have faith in God. And God blessed, of course, Elisha, his servant, because God, he was able to see the answer to his prayer right immediately there. And like as I mentioned, I know that most of us, in my own life at least, I know I would rather have God answer my prayer right away. You know, I have a situation, I have a problem. God, can you take care of this situation for me? And him answer that problem right there. That'd be great. But it doesn't happen like that. It doesn't happen. You know, that would require me not to have any faith at all. But when I pray and I have a difficult situation and I have to wait and I have to just trust God that God has some good in this situation. God is going to use this situation somehow. And I don't understand. I mean, can you imagine Joseph in his situation wondering, how is God going to use me being a slave? How is God going to use me in prison? How's God going to use me being betrayed? How's God going to do that? But he trusted God, and God delivered Joseph. You're having a difficulty in your workplace, God's going to answer. Just keep on believing. Hey, God might answer tomorrow, but God might answer next year. But just trust God. You have a difficulty with your family. Just trust God. God's going to answer. It may not be today. It may not be tomorrow. But God will answer if we faint not. You have a difficulty or a problem in your ministry. God's going to deliver you from that problem. God's going to answer if you just trust God continually. Trust Him that He knows best. You have a difficulty in your health, in your finances, day-to-day things, whatever it might be. God's going to answer our problems, our difficulties, just like He did with Joseph and Elisha. There's deliverance in Dothan. There's deliverance. Although Joseph had to wait a long time for God to answer, he still got to see God answer his prayer. And Elisha did not have to wait that long, but Elisha got to see the same type of deliverance. Perhaps you're here today and you don't know for sure you're going to be in heaven. You don't know for sure that you have a home in heaven, and you don't know the peace of knowing that you're saved, that your sins are forgiven. You can have deliverance this morning as well. And you live your life, and things are discouraging. You're not saved, and you're visiting or whatever it might be, and life is difficult. Life is discouraging. Let me tell you something, though. This morning, you can have deliverance. You can have deliverance from that kind of life. By just trusting in Jesus Christ. Trust Him today. Don't leave here today without knowing for sure you have a home in heaven. Jesus Christ, of course, the Son of God, and lived on earth here over 2,000 years ago and lived a perfect life, God's perfect Son, and never sinned, never did anything wrong, and He died on the cross to pay for your sin, to deliver you from a difficult place like Dothan, to deliver you from a discouraging place, a difficult life like in Dothan. He wants to deliver you. Trust Him today. I hope you will. God comes through for both men. Even though Joseph had to wait, God still comes through. And He will do the same for you as well. Let's pray. Father, thank You so much for the opportunity this morning to be in Your house. And God, I do not feel worthy. I do not feel like I have the ability to be able to be a blessing, Lord, this morning. And I hope that this morning You would take the words that I've said, Lord, and just be a help and encouragement to somebody here. And Lord, even if it's just one person, of course, it'd be worth it. And I pray, Lord, that You would just help us, Lord. It's difficult, as well as You know. You've been on this earth for 33 and a half years, and You know, Lord, that it's a difficult place. And the difficulties that we all face. And You know them before we pray about our situations. You know the difficulties we're going through. You know the discouragement perhaps that we face in a day. God, I pray that Your will is done. That, Lord, I pray that we would keep our faith, that we would trust You, that we would have the faith to just believe that it's going to be okay. That we would have the faith to believe that You have put this in our lives and it's there for a reason, and that we just need to trust You. And have the faith to endure through the end. If we faint not. If you're here this morning, you've never trusted Jesus Christ as your Savior, I pray that you'll take the opportunity this morning to walk down the aisle when the invitation is given. In just a moment, I pray that you'll have the faith and the strength and the courage to come forward and find somebody down front here. And we'll take a Bible and we'll show you how you can know for sure you'll have a home in heaven. And that you'll know that deliverance that we're talking about, that deliverance from that weight of sin off your shoulders, off your heart, and that you'll have a home in heaven one day. Everyone standing to your feet as the instruments begin to play. The Lord's worked on your heart. You come forward.